There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Welcome to College Football Live.
There's an answer we all seek to know. Where do we rank? Are we in?
Bayou Bengals making it into the playoffs for the first time. They are number one. At number two, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Number three is going to be the Clemson Tigers. At number four, Oklahoma.
Time to wonder is over. Time to win is now.
If you're a fan of the line of scrimmage where games are won, we've got you covered today here on College Football Live. Alongside Mike Golic Jr. and Dusty Dvorak, I'm Matt Schick. Let's start the show by making some history here on College Football Live by starting with some college basketball. Last night, number one Louisville lost to Texas Tech in the Jimmy V Classic. The Cards becoming the fourth number one team to lose this season, joining Duke, Kentucky, and Michigan State, losing four losses. Those four losses are tied for the most by AP number one teams before January. Why are we showing that? Well, number one teams lose in college basketball in the regular season. The number one team has yet to win the college football playoff in its five, now 6 years of existence. So that's not good news for LSU. Dusty, who is best equipped to take down number one in the playoff?
Well, I'm going to go out to Glendale in the Fiesta Bowl because I truly believe the two most balanced football teams, the two best football teams in college football, is Clemson and is Ohio State. So the winner of that matchup likely has the best chance and his best position to knock off number one. But don't go too far because Oklahoma, I think they're in pretty good position as well. If you listen to a lot of people, this is essentially a bye for LSU. Not so fast. The Oklahoma defense is much improved from a year ago. Alex Grinch was a fantastic hire by Lincoln Riley. They go from the 101st total defense to 24th in the country. And a couple of stats that I love. Tackles for loss, disruptive plays, 11th in the country with 101 tackles for loss, and 9th in college football and third down defense. They get off the field. They're a more balanced, more complete team this year than they have been in years past. And if you want offense, they still got that with Lincoln Riley too.
Yeah, I heard he's pretty good. Lincoln Riley doing all right for himself, but I still would have to go in Clemson. You're right. The Fiesta Bowl is where my eyes go. And Clemson looks like the team, the more and more I turn on the tape with them, that is equipped to win this whole thing. Didn't have to go through the gauntlet regular season. Didn't have a lot of primetime games where people paid attention. And so while we were all looking elsewhere, they went on to, on defense, completely reload. Brent Venables engineering another defense that gave up the fewest touchdowns in college football, the fewest yards per play in college football, and on offense. Trevor Lawrence and this attack are back to doing what they do since mid-October for him. 22 touchdowns, zero interceptions. This is a juggernaut that doesn't have the wear and tear these other teams had during the regular season.
I hate to agree with an offensive lineman, but I think I'm going to have to. I know we like to embrace debate, but I'm with you, bro. This Clemson football team is just getting better and better and better. And it's like we have three of these four quarterbacks going to be in New York City for the Heisman. I'm not so sure Trevor Lawrence isn't the best of the bunch. Remember, he did win a national championship last year as a true freshman.
Yeah, if you would have said before the season that all the Heisman finalists, which we'll get to later, would be involved in the college football playoff, there'd be four of them, and Trevor Lawrence would not be one of them, you might have made some good preseason coin. But as you said, Dusty, Oklahoma gets the first shot at LSU. Let's take a look at the preview of this upcoming Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl game between LSU and Oklahoma. It is our Capital One Bowl Mania preview. While the Tigers are favored in Vegas by 13, the numbers would tell you the two teams aren't too dissimilar, both offensively and defensively. One area where the game could be decided, the turnover battle. The Tigers are +8 in differential, and the Sooners, you see there, are -7. Let's continue with that number theme. We hit 8, we hit 7. How about the number 6, as in 6 of the 7 Power 5 head coaching openings have officially been filled, and filled with some familiar faces. You see Mike Norvell there going from Memphis to Florida State. Lane Kiffin back in the SEC at Ole Miss. Eli Drinkwitz spent a season at App State. Now he's at Missouri. Jeff Scott leaves Dabo Sweeney and Clemson for the Bulls. Greg Schiano back at home in Piscataway with Rutgers. We've seen guys, whether it's Willie Taggart there at Florida State, Chad Morris at Arkansas. You don't get very long to turn things around. So, Dusty, who is set up for most immediate success here as a new hire?
I think it's got to be Mike Norvell going to Florida State. Look, I had Mike Norvell in Memphis week one against Ole Miss, and I was blown away with this guy. Young, energetic, fiery, and a fantastic offensive mind. And he wins 38-15 as a head coach there at Memphis. Three divisional crowns and wins the American this season. And you can go back to his time at Arizona State to see what he was able to do running the Sun Devils offense. I think this guy gets it. He's tailor-made for this job. And here's the biggest key. The ACC, they've already got the second best collection of talent of anybody not named Clemson. And when you look up and down that entire conference, I think Florida State next season can win 8, maybe even 9 games with the roster they have right now, with the level of competition in the ACC, and with a guy like Mike Norvell to step in and get more out of the active players on his roster.
Mike Norvell with one of the greater media day pictures in Central Arkansas history, the cornrows and all in that one. I would look at Missouri, though, and Eli Drinkwitz and what he's getting ready to take over there. On the winnable side of the SEC, I think the expectations aren't going to be quite as high as some of these other marquee programs, but you're bringing in a coach who knows offensive football. He's a Gus Malzahn coaching tree guy. You go back to his time at Boise State, NC State, those Ryan Finley offenses that were up near 450 yards a game. And this last year at App State, a team that's in still their very, you know, genesis in the FBS level, winning the Sun Belt, doing what he's done with creative rushing of the football. I think he's built for modern offense, especially in this conference as it continues to evolve.
I like Coach Drinkwitz. I'm intrigued to see what he does. My question, though, is how much of that was Scott Satterfield that he had set up at App State and Drinkwitz able to step in? It was on autopilot. I think that's a tough job there in Columbia, Missouri, but I can't wait to see exactly how it all unfolds.
If you want a seamless transition, how about defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake stepping in for Chris Peterson after their bowl game against Boise State? He knows how to orchestrate a defense. He knows how to beat Washington State in that Apple Cup year in and year out. We'll see if he's got a quarterback in Jacob Eason coming back. Very unlikely, but we'll see if he decides to come back for his final year there in the Great Northwest. Coming up next here on College Football Live, it's been 22 years since one of the all-time great groups of Heisman finalists went to New York. Our guys will settle the Woodson-Manning debate once and for all. Plus, Thursday night, individual awards not named the Heisman are handed out. Mike and Dusty will do it coming up.
College Football Live is brought to you by AT&T.
The greatest college football player in 1997 did not win the Heisman. How the Heisman Trophy could exist the next year without having given it to Peyton Manning, I will never know.
No, 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 not that year. Not that year. No, sir. Peyton needed his teammates. Charles is doing it as an individual. He was the guy. He did everything. Man, Charles Woodson deserved that Heisman and more.
Woodson, leaping touchdown.
The Heisman debate, my year, to me, it's not a debate.
Let's see the pause.
The Woodson-Manning Heisman Debate is part of the greatest Heisman Debates show, airing Thursday, 10 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Preceding that is the American game, the Heisman, at 9 Eastern. So let's have one of those greatest debates right now. Mike Golic Jr., if 8-year-old Mike Golic Jr. at the time had a Heisman ballot, who would you have given the Heisman to that year?
Listen, it pains me to disagree with a very impassioned Ed Reed in that video, but you got to go with Peyton Manning, right? And like, this kind of illustrates everything that was wrong with the award and is wrong with the award, because it's about the best team. Like, if Peyton Manning just beats Florida, this award is in his wing somewhere in a house full of all the other awards that he has stacked up there. But to me, that was the difference, and that underscores usually what we see with the Heisman, which is about team success as much as anything else.
Peyton Manning is fantastic. I love me some Peyton Manning. But you're wrong, Golic. You are wrong. Charles Woodson was the most outstanding player in college football that year. And that's what the Heisman is. Most outstanding player. Not best offensive player. But by the way, Charles did that too because he did everything. He ran one in. He caught two touchdown passes. He had a punt return. And how about 25 pass breakups and 8 interceptions? They got it right. Way back in 1997, Charles Woodson was a deserved Heisman winner. And if I could cast my vote, I wouldn't change a thing.
Golic, I mean, you got to have a rebuttal for that. I mean, he pretty much shut you down there. Do you got anything?
Listen, you know what? The only proof I need in all this is that Charles Woodson had to come over to offense in order to win the Heisman, Dusty. Like, as a defensive player, it's got to make you a little sick that to get the respect you believe you deserve. And I believe he deserves a ton of respect. He had to come over to the right side of the ball.
Hey, we all know that the Heisman Trophy is an offensive award. I'm just glad that back in 1997, they recognized greatness. If it takes coming over the offensive side, so be it. Maybe we need to have more defensive linemen play a little fullback or running back so we can get these awards going to the right side of the ball.
Well, you guys are both wrong. I think the correct answer was Randy Moss, because I am a company man. 26 touchdowns there back in 1997. Certainly, that was a great Heisman class. And any of those guys who didn't win it, you could consider snubs, but think about the all-time greatest snubs of the last 25 years or so. Dusty, where are you going for that?
Man, I got to go. I'm a defensive lineman, and I'm going to stick right there. 2009, I thought Ndamukong Suh had the most dominant season I've ever seen a defensive player have. The fact that he finished fourth in the Heisman is laughable. This guy won AP Player of the Year. First time a defensive player has ever done that. 24 tackles for loss, 12 sacks. This guy did everything. He had 10 pass breakups, 3 block kicks, and that Big 12 championship game against Texas, the single most dominant performance I've ever seen in college by a defensive player. Without question, that dude was the best player in college football in 2009.
My offensive line coach at Notre Dame for a couple years, a guy named Ed Warner, who was at Kansas back in the day, trying to handle that version of Ndamukong Suh. And he talked about spending an entire week saying, we're going to throw wham box blocks at this guy. We're going to cut this guy. We're going to send the fullback at him from the backfield because you had to account for him on every play. You mentioned he blocked 3 kicks. The guy's name literally means house of knives. He didn't want to just beat you. He wanted to hurt you on every single play. And listen, as an offensive line, I could only look at a player and say, who would I least want to go against in the world? Ndamukong Suh is on a very short list for that number one answer.
House of knives, house of spears, they're all very jagged edged and can really hurt you there on the football field. Ndamukong Suh, by the way, finished fourth as one of our greatest snubs there in the last 25 years. So it's been 10 years since a defensive lineman was a Heisman finalist. That changes this year. This Heisman update brought to you by Nissan. Chase Young, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, all headed to the Big Apple this weekend to watch Joe Burrow win the Heisman Trophy. The record for the highest percentage of first-place votes, quarterback Troy Smith at Ohio State in 06. Nearly 80%, 87% of the first-place votes went his way. We'll see if Burrow breaks that record, much like he did every SEC record this year. In a world, though, where Joe Burrow, does not exist, Mike Golic Jr., who wins the Heisman this year?
Got to be Chase Young, right? Like, we just talked about dominant defensive performances. And the one commonality we saw this year with Chase Young, 16 and a half sacks later, was if you decided you only wanted to single block him, you were sentencing your quarterback to death. That was just the way it went this weekend. And the teams that got creative with that even had a shot. But he is a guy that stepped in the legacy of Joey and Nick Bosa, guys that we had seen great top 5 overall draft picks. And he came in, he looked like the best we've seen in recent memory there. He's an absolute force.
Again, I would love to disagree with you, but you're actually speaking some truth here, Golic. It's definitely Chase Young. I mean, there has been no more dominant player in college football this year than this cat. Coming off the edge, he strikes fear into every offensive tackle that he faces. You have to tailor fit game plans on this guy because he is a game wrecker. He's been fantastic, leads the country in sacks. And he missed 2 games. Can you imagine if you would have played in those games against lesser competition, the numbers he would have put up? He has been sensational. No slight to Justin Fields. 40 touchdowns and 1 pick is fantastic. And what Jalen Hurts has been able to step in and do under Lincoln Riley's tutelage is outstanding. But in a world with no Joe Burrow, Chase Young has got to be the answer.
What if I told you
that the fourth defensive lineman, by the way, in the last 40 years to finish inside the top five in the Heisman voting? Dusty, do you think we'll ever see a predominantly defensive player, not a guy who's on special teams or does the Charles Woodson offense stuff, win the Heisman Trophy?
No. And it's sad. It's ridiculous. That's why they should just name it an offensive award. Because, I mean, again, if in 2009 Ndamukong Suh didn't win it, a defensive player is never going to win it. Listen, we live in a fantasy football world, right? Everybody likes touchdowns. They like guys that throw it. They like guys that get into the end zone. It's never fun to talk about big uglies who get down there and do the real football, the real work that helps team win championships. So as much as I'd love to say, yes, we're so close to having a defensive player win this award, the reality is it's an offensive award, and we're not going to see a defensive player win it anytime soon.
No, I played with a guy who got about as close as any in Manti Te'o, his seven interceptions in our 2012 season, still couldn't compete with all of the flair and all of, most importantly, the touches and opportunities for a guy in Johnny Manziel who ultimately took it home.
Yeah, you almost need enough guys on the offensive side to split votes, and a guy like Chase Young coming again and having just these otherworldly predator type of stats that he has. Any of these guys would have won it in any other year, but Joe Burrow taking it. You'll get to see his coronation coming up Saturday, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN, the ESPN app, the 85th annual Heisman Trophy ceremony from New York City, a showcase of the seasons of Burrow, Hurts, Fields, and Young. The Heisman Trophy ceremony presented by Nissan.
This Heisman Update is brought to you by Nissan, premier partner of the Heisman Trophy.
The Heisman Trophy, not the only individual award handed out this week. The College Football Award Show is Thursday night. Our guys will hand them out before the red carpet is even laid out. That's next.
One game can change everything. Barry, and this is that game.
Damn the torpedoes! The smell of Navy in the morning.
College Football Live is brought to you by Allstate, reminding you that football season is mayhem.
Last night, the National Football Foundation and College Football Hall of Fame welcomed their 2019 class to the College Football Hall of Fame. Included in the class were Rocket Ishmael, you had Joe Thomas, Jake Plummer, Vince Young. Also inducted as an honorary member this year is the Goodyear Blimp, making the College Football Hall of Fame indeed blimp worthy. Thursday night, the best college football players of today will be honored with the 29th annual Home Depot College Football Awards show from the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. 7 Eastern on ESPN, the ESPN app. Chris Fowler hosts the program along with Lee Corso, Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, Tom Rinaldi, and Maria Taylor. I, along with Mike Golic Jr. and Dusty Dvorak, will be there in spirit. So let's hand out these awards ourselves. Let's start with the Doak Walker Award, given to the nation's most outstanding running back. The finalist this year, Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State, the FBS leader in rushing yards. You get last year's winner of this award, Jonathan Taylor of Wisconsin, and J.K. Dobbins of Ohio State. Golic, who gets your Doak?
Make it twice for Jonathan Taylor, man. This guy's going to go down as one of the most underappreciated college running backs we have ever seen. You saw that over 1,900 yards rushing there. How he did it is just impressive. Everyone thinks, well, that great offensive line helps. Nobody had more yards against seven-man boxes besides A.J. Dillon at Boston College than Jonathan Taylor. And his yards per carry average, almost a full yard better than what A.J. Dillon put on display. He is explosive. He has vision. He is a do-it-all back that I think should have, quite frankly, be in New York this weekend for the Heisman.
I love Jonathan Taylor. I'm not going to say you're wrong. 6,000 yards in three seasons. It's incredible. But this is actually his worst statistical year. I'm going to go with the Canadian Cowboy, Chuba Hubbard. Led all of college football in rushing yards, and he did it in one less game, right? I mean, here's the deal. This guy had 11 out of 12 games over 100 yards, I think four games over 200 yards. His speed, explosiveness, is next level. And let's face it, he had the least of the quality offensive lines of anybody in this conversation we're talking about. A lot of what he did on his own. Give that man some respect.
How about a guy who's not a finalist for that award? Travis Etienne, maybe a victim of his own team's success. Just 6 carries in the fourth quarter this year and had a phenomenal season for Clemson. All right, let's go out wide here with the Biletnikoff, Jamar Chase of LSU, CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma, Michael Pittman Jr. of USC. Dusty, the Biletnikoff goes to...
Jamar Chase, this guy has been outstanding, leads the country receiving yards and touchdowns. Joe Burrow's go-to guy. I love his skill set. Jamar Chase, to me, without question.
Yep, the leader in touchdowns and yards, an absolute bulldog. I'm with you on this, Dusty. Although I give a lot of credit to CeeDee Lamb, a very different offense for him and still found a way to be wildly productive.
It'll be very interesting to see if T. Higgins enters the college football playoff with a little chip on the old shoulder for not being a finalist for the award. Let's go to the defensive side now for the Bednarik Award. Derek Brown of Auburn, Isaiah Simmons of Clemson, Chase Young, you've heard of him, from Ohio State. Golic, who do you bestow the Bednarik?
I think a Heisman Trophy winning caliber player in Chase Young deserves it. But man, Isaiah Simmons lent Clemson in everything. Tackles for loss, and sacks. He is the perfect weapon for a Brent Venables defense that had to reload after losing a lot of guys to the NFL. He'd be hard to ignore in this.
Isaiah Simmons, Mr. Versatility, but come on, what are we talking about here? Chase Young's the answer. It's a no-brainer.
All right. I mean, you went with the easy one, and that's fine. I like the Isaiah Simmons. See, what Golic is trying to do is not allow Dabo to have all of this bulletin board material for the college football playoff. That's a very, very heady play there. By the way, the Home Depot Coach of the Year Award is going to be handed out Thursday night as well. All three of us helped vote in that. Dusty, I'm interested. Who did you vote for?
Matt Rhule at Baylor. Look, I think what this guy's done in 3 years, the cloud, the toxicity that was Baylor football and that program from 1-11 his first year to 11-1 and this close to a college football playoff. A lot of great coaches, but he's done the best job this year.
Took Oklahoma down to the wire with his third-string quarterback in overtime in the Big 12 title game. Beyond impressive job by Matt.
Yeah, I had Rhule there, Ryan Day, Ed Ogeron, plenty of worthy honorees there. Stay tuned to that. The Home Depot College Football Award Show coming up Thursday night. This has been award-winning, at least we hope. Thanks for watching.